outcome-based education, that was, I believe, a heavily debated topic during your years with TPS. Explain the idea behind that concept.
Well, outcome-based is essentially what emerges from what you attempt, if that's a way to put it. First of all, one of the things we don't do in our business is we don't pretest. We give our annual test in April, but we don't find out what kids knew in September. So from the very simplistic point of view of outcome-based education, you would test in the fall and again in the spring and see what the growth was. But instead of that, we give one giant test in April without really knowing what the basis was for improvement. In a nutshell, that's outcome-based education.
So why was that debated?
Well, it's something different. We've never done that before. We've always given standardized tests in the spring. You know, in our middle school in Eagle Grove, we could test it in the fall and in the spring to see what the measurement was. To me, it's common sense, but that doesn't always prevail in education.
Sorry. Does it make you feel, as we've talked here, you've felt like a lone wolf many times, or you certainly have had others across the country who have agreed with you? Mm-hmm. You've come up with these concepts, implemented them, and some of them seem to have faded away.
Well, I think that's typical of any change. Education is an incredibly large, fixated institution. Initially in 1840, when we could warehouse kids, all the education occurred in the school building. There were libraries, a few. But for the most part, that's where people went. And over the years, up until 1900, children went to elementary school, and essentially that was their education. You know, even Harvard was essentially a high school when it was opened. In 1900, then, when the child labor laws came about and junior high school was initiated to entice kids to go to high school, they had to broaden things out. And now, those have been about the only innovations that have stuck. We've changed the junior high to middle schools. To some degree, the middle school is different than the junior high, but not a lot. Not as much as I would like to have seen. I've seen some improvements, some changes over the period of time. I've certainly been exposed to some incredible people that have always been on the cutting edge. I had the good fortune of being on the Charles F. Kettering CFK Limited board. Chuck Kettering was the grandson of Charles Kettering, who invented the self-starter. So Chuck had ample funds. His concern was school climate. We'd meet for a week at Vail every summer for 20 years, I guess. He would bring in people from all walks of life, business as well as education, to talk about what could be done to improve the climate in schools. He was very concerned because he was from the Chicago area and had worked with gangs in Chicago. And being able to partake in conversations and workshops and so forth with these guys at the lodge at Vail for 20 years was an incredible experience for me. And then I did a lot of consulting for them on school climate. My territory was Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis to New Orleans. I think I traveled on every trunk airline that there was in that territory talking about how we could improve the school climate. For example, we developed the first measurement of school climate, which is now the Phi Delta Kappa annual evaluation that they do on schools. They picked that up and were able to publish it and carry it through to see what climate factors are important. Maybe that has had an impact on making people more sensitive to the needs of kids.
But you and others, your colleagues, as you've just described, can think about concepts and change. But ultimately, doesn't it come back to the school board? And no matter how these brilliant people are thinking, and no disrespect to school board members, but there's got to be a giant leap between a school board member and what the Ketterings and the Howells are thinking. To bring those two sides together is a major, major challenge.
It is. I have been very fortunate in our boards that I've worked for, their willingness to, if you will, try these ideas. The first board was a 5-member board. We had initiated, Kowalty. initiated some concepts at the time. Same with the 7-member board that tried different things. They could see the merit in doing some of these things to see if that would work better than what we had been doing. Board members, unfortunately, are so restricted these days by legislation, in our case from Oklahoma City, that many of their responsibilities have been taken away by mandates from the state legislature. The typical one that came out, at least the first time around for me, was the legislature would pass something that involved any school district with 25,000 or more students. So Oklahoma City and Tulsa were the ones that got to do this, that, or the other thing, or were required. Now they've softened a little bit, and it includes more and more and more districts, but so many of the things that they do develop then are unfunded, and the requirements are thrown back on the district, which in turn gnaws away at the school board's authority.